Welcome to Radical Being. In today's show, I'm exploring the idea of relevance. What is relevant in the bigger picture if we look at the world from space? And what is relevant in our seemingly individual lives? In my view, the answer to that is not much. And yet, humans have a deep set desire not only to belong and for approval, but increasingly in an age of public visibility and social media and internet, to be relevant. But are we relevant? And how do we measure that? And where are we relevant? I'll offer that the only place we can truly be relevant is in our individual lives, and that the ongoing invitation is for personal evolution and to create goodness and beauty in the world. As usual, there's a couple paradigm-shifting perspectives in today's show. Let's dive in. Greetings and welcome to Radical Being. If you're tuning in on a standard podcast platform such as iTunes or iHeartRadio or even Audible or Pandora or the various places people find podcasts, I like to point out that this is a video podcast, a next generation video podcast, and you can find the video version on Spotify, as well as the show's dedicated website, radicalbeingpodcast.com. And I do keep generally the three most recent episodes on my personal site, riverfair.com. Now that little video tagline overview is out of the way, welcome to another episode of Radical Being. If you've tuned in before, maybe to a show or two or numerous shows, you know that this is a podcast on self-awareness or various aspects of self-awareness. And I was reflecting the other day that that has been my work for years in different sort of flavors or threads to that, or facets, if you will, since 2014, when I first stepped into public view, for whatever that's worth, with my first book, The Bones and Breath. Since then, and the various offerings of a blog, and I had a podcast back in 2012, 2013, my first blog, and there have been various incarnations of those. What I have put forward has really always been about self-awareness. And even in more recent years, working with clients in a healing mode or as a coach mode, now I consider myself a mentor now, this thread of self-awareness, although for years I would have identified my work as being around nourishment, what particularly with the soul, that was a big word for me for years, the primary lens that I was looking through, what nourishes the soul? And also thinking about first book and early blogs, embodiment. What is it to be embodied on the human journey? And yet I realized the other day, both of those could be looked at as self-awareness. It is a certain level of self-awareness what nourishes the soul, or that most authentic part of me. What nourishes? That's a certain mode or level of self-awareness, which many people don't have, or similarly embodiment. You need a level of self-awareness to become mindful of the physical sensations of your emotions and moods. There's awareness involved in that too. So perhaps the flavor has shifted, and yet it continues to be the thread of this podcast and the blog I write now, Pearls and Dust, and books and whatever else I keep putting out into the world. Self-awareness of what I view as the evolutionary journey. That is how I view life, and both the sort of microscopic level, your level, our level, and the macroscopic is in terms of the humanity overall. I do view that humanity has been and continues to be on an evolutionary journey, a story much bigger than our personal stories, which is, you know, touch on in today, sort of the relevance or irrelevance of our individual lives, but that somehow collectively, the personal evolution work that we do ultimately ripples out and plays into the larger evolution of humanity. It's easy to look around the world and say, wow, it's a mess. We are definitely not evolving. We're still fighting each other and this and that, and divided in our dualistic notions. And yet, I see we are evolving slowly, very slowly, but we are evolving. And it's been a long timeline, and it probably will continue to be a long timeline, provided we don't blow up the planet or whatever else we do, or make it totally uninhabitable for ourselves. But that individual work, of our seemingly individual lives, I stepped into the quantum last episode. I'll stay away from it now, but that is the key word, in my view, our seemingly individual lives. We have become a very hyper-individualized culture, and I've touched on this in previous shows, extremely, like to the nth degree. And that is its own sort of evolutionary journey. We were not that way. We are that way now. Me, 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 this self-obsession, self-absorption, and tools, if you will, like the internet and definitely social media have facilitated that greatly, propagated that, and also sort of entwined with that, or even inseparable from that, I'd say, is this rather unfortunate affliction with entitlement. We have become the most entitled just people ever. I deserve that. I should have that. I should make X dollars an hour, even though I don't have any experience. We could come up with a long list of what people feel they are entitled to everything. And my kids should have everything, and et cetera, et cetera. Me, 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 hyper-individualism, it's all about me. Surely thousands of people are interested in what I had for lunch today, and I'm going to post it on Instagram. And maybe they are. More power to you. It's actually sort of a fine dance in having stepped into the public realm a decade ago and jumping ahead to where hopefully this podcast is going, wanting to be relevant, hence stepping into that public realm, and boy, the journey that has led me to. And this sort of the various offerings since then, blog, podcast, an initial book, and wanting, as I said, to be relevant. That was really a motivation behind writing that first book, The Bones and Breath. Here, I feel I have something worthwhile to say, and I want to share it, and hopefully it will be received well and doors will open for me and there'll be further opportunities, and this whatever intellectual or embodied or cosmic or supersomatic viewpoint or whatever that I feel I'm here to share. But from the beginning, it has, at least for me, been a very delicate dance, because although I have always sort of taught from my experience, here's my experience, whatever, walking in nature, being in the kitchen, what is it to be deeply embodied in my senses, and generally writing, or perhaps with the podcast, earlier podcasts, sharing from that perspective. But I have always been really mindful that it needed to be bigger than me. The lens needed to be wider. And so the razor's edge, or however we want, whatever metaphor we want to use for that, of sort of teaching or sharing from your experience, which is necessarily about me. Say most blogs are very self-absorbed, sort of endemic to the genre. And arguably podcasts as well. Here I am. I have a podcast now. And once again, but still looking to make it wider, widen the aperture to reach for the transpersonal. What connects us? So yes, I'm sharing from my experience in those early blogs or the book, or even the book I've just released into the world, Where Two Worlds Touch, an outsider's memoir in England. And I've shared in a previous podcast the real struggle I had with releasing a book that I'd written years ago, that the very nature of a memoir is self-oriented. And yet I really endeavored to, as I just said, widen the aperture. It has to be bigger than river. It has to speak to the transpersonal, the human journey, what connects us. And that, two things about being relevant, maybe I'll. So my own journey, reflecting recently on what is relevant? What is it to be relevant? Back in whenever the first Apollo space missions were and the first mission to the moon, we sort of take that for granted now, those of us that have grown up since that moment. That first image taken from space of Earth, this beautiful blue-green jewel spinning in space, when that first image arrived for the very first time, and nobody had ever seen the world from space, a little chill up the spine, that's, you can think of it as an insignificant moment. It was a hugely significant moment. It shifted the paradigm of humanity. We are, or sowed the seeds for that. We are all inhabiting this planet in the deep reaches of space, seemingly space-time, from a classic reality and physics view. And for me, the relevance of that image today, I often just sort of dial back when I'm sitting and being reflective, just in river space, staring out the window or contemplating. And that view from space, we are largely irrelevant in our act at hyper-individualism and the details of our individual lives, in which we're all swept up in and caught into the chaos and drama and the angst and the joy and the our individual lives, individual notion of self. It's pretty much all consuming. And yet I find it very useful to dial back time to time and say, right, what if this is really relevant? It has been my view for years. We don't even have a television in the house. I haven't watched television, owned a television in 30 years. It's like the news disappeared from my life, the so-called news disappeared from my life ages ago. I disconnected from that a very long time ago because it was just really clear to me that 99% of this, impossible to give an exact number, but that feels pretty close, is actually irrelevant to my life. It's sort of the same old story on a different stage and different characters. And it's Barbara Marx Hubbard, a noted evolutionary, something I have identified myself as for years. She said she was in a symposium that I was in some years ago, and I watched her interview, which I thought was really brilliant. She's really brilliant. She said the news, she was going off, but she said the news is just what's not working. Yeah, pretty much. Here's what's not working in the world. So I disengaged from that a very long time ago. And my experience and realization is that's right. Almost none of that actually impacts my day-to-day life. And you can get pulled into it very easily. Many people, I need to know what's going on in the world. Do you? Does it actually impact your life? Is it really relevant in your life? I would offer that if you really sit with the answer, it's no. And this sort of same old story, it's not to say that it isn't tragic or potentially beautiful, not likely on the news, but there is beautiful things happening in the world and tragic things happening in the world, our ongoing saga of evolution. In terms of relevance, my offering, my view, is that as much as we get drawn into that and our endless quest for more information, and being seemingly connected, it's mostly irrelevant. And even in our own lives, finding our way to what is relevant here, hopefully, a question, what is relevant? And I, not to be nihilistic about it, but not much. We get wrapped up in all sorts of drama and like, is this really relevant to my life? A worthwhile question to keep coming back to. I have said in this podcast before and with my coaching, it's like, I'm irrelevant. This podcast is irrelevant. Look at the world from space. We're all irrelevant. Apart from just the world from space, I often think of us as cells in a larger organism. That's a useful metaphor. Each of those cells has a role to play in its localized function, whether we're a bone cell or a brain cell or a nerve cell or a plasma cell, or you could take that analogy as far as you want, and those cells are arguably different from each other, but and in some views, some localized view, the brain cells, maybe bone cells don't seem very important. Everyone should be a brain cell or nerve cells. And yet all of those are holding together, composing, performing their own unique roles. And at the same time, are largely replaceable. We are all just passing through this little blip of time, thousands of years before us, who knows how many years in the future beyond this. Again and again in podcasts and blogs particularly, and Soul Artist Journal and Tending Sacred followed that, and now it's Pearls and Dust and books I've written. We're all just passing through. And in that, we are largely irrelevant, other than our individual spheres of life, those lives we touch intimately. There is a very deep-set human desire to belong and for approval. Stitching back to this very hyper-individualized culture, particularly with internet and social media, I think that has somewhat evolved. Maybe that's not the optimal word, but it's sort of another thing that has come forward is this desire to be relevant. As I said back in 2014 or before that, writing the book before that, a desire to be relevant. And what potentially does that mean? When I was building that first author platform back in 2012 to specifically get a publisher for the book manuscript and hopefully emerge into the world and be relevant in that way that I was seeking. And I started that first blog, the Soul Artist Journal, and put pretty much anybody I knew on my mailing list back in 2012, whether they, you know, asked to be on it or not. And I've long since corrected that. But the weekly blog would go out, and I had a very dear, beautiful friend, sort of a soul sister who's no longer in the world. But back in those days, I was visiting her and lamenting once sort of, I had like only 50 people on my list, and early days of social media, seeing these people with, you know, huge accounts and hundreds, thousands of people on their list. And of course, we all have to start at zero. We all start somewhere. And I was just beginning. But my beautiful, wise friend, she said, I think that the internet and social media has sort of warped our view, because these larger numbers are possible now. It's possible to reach more people. She said, but if you were, say, doing a reading of this blog at something like a poetry night or an open mic night, if you were giving a weekly reading, and because I was saying, well, I've only got 50 people on my list, and you know, probably not everybody's opening or reading that, and you know, maybe 30 people are reading, or what if only 20 people are reading it? She said, if 20 people showed up every week at your reading to hear what you would say, would you be pleased? And it was such a useful reframe. I immediately said, oh, I'd be thrilled. I'd be thrilled to have 20 people show up every week. She said, well, that is what's happening. And arguably more than that, and it will continue to grow. I thought, right, right. This sort of warped perception of, oh, if I don't have X hundreds or thousands of people reading this, then I'm not relevant, or I'm still, it's not relevant, not relevant. I have spent really the last 15 years, not so much now, but in my own way, trying to be relevant. Mostly without much success, I would say, or at least not in any visible way. Certainly never in a mainstream way. I'm just not a mainstream person. And that's, I've made my peace with that a long time ago. 99% of what's in the mainstream doesn't interest me. And so why would 99% of the mainstream, flipping it the other way, be interested in what I have to offer? But that was really under the hood of it, or under the bonnet. Like, right, wanting to be relevant. And I, for years, I would have angst. I would see these people with thousands of followers, 40,000 followers, 100,000 followers. And in my view, they had like very little worthwhile to offer. And it used to baffle me and put me into this existential angst. It's like, these people, and I'm trying to offer something actually really relevant or beautiful, and I'm invisible. I'm not relevant. I had a dear client, still have a dear client. She's worked with me numerous times in the coaching program. And every so often when I roll out a new version, she signs up and I'm like, you don't need to do this again. You've worked with me like three times now. And she'll say, it doesn't matter. It's always new. And working with you is priceless. And she's a very, become a dear friend, a very dear friend. But one time we're somehow having this conversation about what's relevant or huge followers or being visible or not. And she said, really sweetly, she said, I think you're too authentic to be widely popular. And you ask people to do the real work, and that's never going to be popular. Which I thought was a useful reframe again, and perhaps an astute insight, right? I won't return to that conversation other than what is relevant, and my angst over, wow, I'm not relevant because these, what the sort of low level internet fame that's possible now, or comparing yourself to others, or this, or even just, right, this feeling that I need to share my individual life and it's relevant. And so here I'll put it on social media and hope I get X number of likes, and somehow that validates that I'm relevant. And even if you're not sort of in that public offering role of podcaster or blog or blogger or author or writer, whatever that is, this just sort of this new human or newly pushed forward element of needing, wanting to be relevant, and the validation that comes from that. And back to having spent the last 15 years sort of attempting to be relevant without much success, the beauty of that has been in my own really metamorphosis really the last 2 years. And when I took everything down and completely disappeared, I dismantled my platform and withdrew from all public view and social media and all the things I did back in 2021, and ultimately went through this really radical metamorphosis again and became River Fair instead of my previous name, and essentially starting over. And in all the things of sort of sloughing off beliefs and that journey entailed, this in that period, that process, again, what is relevant? What's relevant is my immediate day-to-day life, the way I show up for life, the way I show up for my partner, my personal conviction, and it is that, as I've shared in other podcasts, thinking one in particular, Shadow Gift and Service, what if, as I like to offer these potentially paradigm-shifting possibilities, what if the higher calling for humanity is to create goodness and beauty? And those can be in reversed order. As I shared in a podcast, the book Podcaster, not too long ago, I was a guest on another podcast and I was sharing this exact thing. And the host said, in that order, like beauty and goodness. I said, same, same, both. Create beauty and goodness, goodness and beauty. And for me, this is the only place I can be relevant. Maybe the podcast reaches a lot of people. Maybe the new book reaches a lot of people. Maybe it doesn't. The monthly Pearls and Dust blog, the various things that I put out as my ongoing, hey, here's my offering of goodness and beauty in the world. But it's genuinely these days much less about I'm trying to be relevant, or I'll be relevant when X number of people find this or share this, or you reach some level that to you constitutes success or relevance or validates, well, I'm relevant now because I have X number of followers or this many people listen to the podcast or whatnot. It's keeping things radically simple. That's another earlier show, radical simplicity. What might radical simplicity look like? That's one of those theoretical questions that I ask clients all the time. What might radical simplicity look like in your life? Well, one of those facets for me is that my relevance is really to a small circle of people. And the way that I show up, how do I show up today? Moment by moment, how am I showing up for life? For me, that's a commitment to show up in radical integrity in everything that I do. That's, and not being worried about relevance on a larger scale. We are all just passing through. I have no idea. Maybe one day I'll have hundreds of thousands of people following my account. I could be gone tomorrow. Those people with hundreds of thousands of people following the account, they can be gone tomorrow. Are they relevant? Not for very long. Very few of us are destined to be Copernicus or Galileo or Sir Isaac Newton or Einstein or Da Vinci or Gandhi or figures that arguably have made a great contribution to humanity's evolution. Most of us, we're simply passing through. And the invitation is to say yes to what the journey brings us, to perhaps, as I see it, evolve into an ever more authentic being who maybe, just possibly, also has a conviction or determination that to offer something of beauty and goodness for something larger than yourself. Maybe that's just your family. That is more than enough. Said in various podcasts and things, blogs. There are infinite, small, modest ways to create beauty and goodness in our life. And that's the sphere. Despite the potential or the temptation or the comparison of all that's out there with social media, and it should be more than this. That, as also shared in other shows, is life is the ongoing opportunity to look at our attachments and expectations. Oh, it should be this. You know, I want it to be this, or that. Well, okay, that's your expectation, attachment. I definitely had to look at that myself, this journey. What is it? Okay, some part of me wants to be deeply relevant. Well, that's my attachment and expectation. And what if I let go of that? Some years ago, I was reading a book by a noted energy healer. And she was writing about just being a healer and the challenges of that. And she said something that struck a note that I think relates to this too. She, in talking about being a healer and sort of not getting stuck in our own stuff about that, she said the secret as to whether a person heals, quote, heals or not. And she said, the secret is to care deeply, but be unattached to the outcome. And as I said, that definitely rung a bell, rung a note immediately with me, because that had been my journey as a healer. Initially, while you want people, A, to feel better or have less pain or resolve their trauma or whatever your facet of work is, sort of all of the above for me, or think you're a great healer or a wonderful person, and our own sort of subconscious baggage around that and my own journey, realizing I had to let go of the outcome. Maybe this person will use the tools I've given them and change their life, or they won't. Maybe they'll turn the corner on their high cholesterol or their cancer, or they won't. But ultimately, beyond what I've done with them in our relationship and this being together, I have to let go of that. Or you don't, but and many people don't, but I realized, right, disentangle here. That I've played the part I can play, and now the rest is up to them. And my reflection of being a healer or whatever else has to be separate from that, has to be disentangled from that. So back to care deeply, but be unattached to outcome. And that's sort of the world. And care deeply. There is tremendous suffering in the world. Horrendous things happen every day. World nations are still at war, and epic natural disasters happening, and a staggering loss of life every day on the planet just from people passing out, as in not becoming unconscious, but transferring over. To the extent that we choose to take that in, it can overwhelm. There's so much grief and suffering in the world. It can truly overwhelm. And it's not that I don't care. I care deeply. And yet I am unattached from that. Because back to what's really relevant, does it actually impact my daily life? No, not so much, other than caring deeply. Like, wow, that is yet another really sad thing. And yet, if we could look for it, if it were somewhere on the news or someplace else, like, there's, in my view, undoubtedly something infinitely, infinite things. And there's something really beautiful to offset that. Care deeply, but be unattached to outcome. I care deeply about what I put into the world. The book that I've spent several years working on and finally released, it's like, I care deeply that I could create this and offer it in the world as an offering of goodness and beauty. And ultimately, it will be whatever it's going to be. It will go where it's going to go, and it's unattached to the outcome. It would be lovely if it lands in the hands of many people and inspires them, because it is a beautiful, inspiring story. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. You move on. Life goes on. There'll be another book. There'll be another offering. There'll be another book. Should I suffer a moment of weakness and go down that path again? Save me now. In the meantime, how do we show up for life? Again and again, this moment, back to the previous podcast, there's just this moment. There's just this. And in my view, we are largely irrelevant, other than just how you choose to show up and how we in the lives of those immediately around us. Thanks for joining me. Another little journey into self-awareness, personal evolution. You can rate and follow the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. On either my site or the show's site, you can sign up for email notifications and be notified anytime a new episode drops, which is bi-weekly on Thursdays. Thanks for tuning in. Be well and be radical.